Hello and welcome to this podcast on measuring the impact of communications. My name is Elizabeth Bidawa-Aliro and I work with the Economic Policy Research Center, a think tank based in Uganda. Our mission is to foster sustainable growth and development of the Ugandan economy by advancing the role of research in policy processes. We do this through provision of high-quality research, policy analysis and advice, and policy outreach and engagement. To ensure integrated planning at the center, we have developed a four-year medium strategic plan that guides and supports our efforts in doing policy outreach and also doing policy-oriented research. In addition, we have developed a policy engagement and communication strategy that guides all our communication interventions. For us to be able to monitor the performance and implementation of our strategic plan as well as our communication strategy, we have developed a results management framework and a monitoring and evaluation tool which we use to collect data, track and report on performance and results. And it is this tool that we also use to measure our communication interventions. Next slide. I would like now to share with you why we measure communication at the Economic Policy Research Center. Our overall aim of measuring communication is to ensure that our information products and services remain of the highest quality and reach our target audiences in the most effective manner. And when I talk about information products, our products are mainly in form of publications arising out of our research findings, where we try to synthesize and have simple publications that can be easily comprehended by policymakers and our other stakeholders who are not necessarily researchers. Then in terms of our information services, I'm talking about our website and portals, and we also have an information center or a resource center that is open to students and the general public. So our aim of measuring communication specifically is to try and ensure that we have well-crafted information products and services, products that are able to reach our intended audiences, and we also like to communicate to ensure that all our communication interventions are geared to the right people, in the right formats, and also reaching them at the right time. The other reason why we try to measure communication is to assess the effect or the final impact our products and services are having on our intended audiences. And ultimately, we measure communication at EPRC to assess whether our center's products and services are having an impact and are also being used to inform policy processes. Next slide. Having looked at why we measure, I would like us to also focus now on what we measure. When we are measuring, we measure three main components. One of them is we measure reach, and here we are trying to establish the extent to which our information products and services are distributed, redistributed, and sometimes referred to by other users. Then the other aspect we measure is the usefulness. And here we are trying to look at the quality of information products and services that we turn out. Are they appropriate? Are they applicable? And are they practical to the users we intend to reach out to? And the third aspect we measure is use. And with use, here we try to look at how is the knowledge we are passing out being used? Are people using it to improve on policy processes? Are they using it to to inform the design of programs and interventions. So in a nutshell, we measure three components of our communication interventions, which are reach, usefulness, and use. Next slide. How then do we measure our communications interventions? The center has developed a standardized way to monitor all its interventions and activities. And by so doing, within this framework, we have been able to develop a monitoring tool that monitors or tracks all the outputs and outcomes of the center's products and services. And it is within this tool that we have incorporated indicators and mechanisms for measuring communication. And currently, as far as communication is concerned, we are measuring 10 indicators within the tool, and I'll be discussing these in details. The first indicator we look at is mainly aimed at measuring the reach of our products, which are mainly publications. And here we try to look at the number of copies of a product that are initially distributed to our existing contacts. We have a contacts database that we regularly update, and whenever we have communication products, publications that we'd like to share, we do use our mailing list and distribute the materials that we have produced to people within the mailing list. So at the end of it all, we capture the number of copies we've sent out and also the number of people on the mailing list we have sent to a particular publication. This helps us not only to capture how many people we have reached, but also it helps us to know which information products we've churned out to which type of people. The other indicator we look at in terms of reach is the number of copies of products that we distribute through additional distribution that is outside our mailing list. For example, if we are having training sessions or workshops or conferences, we tend to distribute our publications during these events. And we have a form that we use for people to sign to indicate their names, the type of publication they've got, and the date they have received this publication. And this one is done by our knowledge management specialist. And tracking this kind of information helps us to know the type of distribution that we've had, but it also helps us to know that the information we are sending out is likely to be understood and applied. Because if people come and seek for this kind of information when you're at an event, then it means they seek for what they want. Chances are they will not take what they don't want. So in that way, we'll also be able to build demand for the center's products. The third indicator that we measure, this one is from the demand side. This is where we look at the number of products we've distributed in response to orders. This is orders that are initiated by users, where we get either email requests, phone requests, or interpersonal requests, people walking into our resource center and asking for particular publications. And this information we also record on forms, and this is done by our knowledge management specialist, who also serves as our librarian. And this kind of information of demand, it helps us to indirectly gauge the perceived value and appropriateness and quality of our products, because people will not demand for what they don't want. So this way, by capturing this information of how many people came and posted requests, we'll be able to gauge how many people demand our publications and what type of publications or subject matter are they interested in. Then we also monitor demand in terms of website use, We upload most of our publications onto the website. And here, we look at the number of file downloads in a given time period. And this one is done by our information and technology specialists using Google Analytics. We are able to capture information in terms of web server log files, trying to show how many people came to download information, what kind of information did they download. And the information that we find was most downloaded, then we would know that was either the most appropriate or most useful information. But this also helps us to gauge from which regions and also countries are people coming in to download, coming in from to download information from our website. So in essence, we get to know the types of information, but also the countries and regions they are coming from. So this also helps us to gauge where are we having, where are our publications having greater impact and reach, or where do people find them most useful. Then in terms of, we also capture media mentions, because we do carry out a lot of outreach and policy engagement events, dissemination events, and we do track what goes on in the media, especially the local print media. We try to find out the number of media outlets that have covered either our event or if it was a material that we sent out to them, like a policy brief, how many of them were able to use it and refer to it. So we track this kind of information. And the challenge with this is that it's easier to do with the print format. But with the radio and the television, it's not easy because we have various media, and it becomes difficult to have a person watching a given TV or radio, or listening to a given radio station at a particular time. So we mainly here concentrate on the printed format. Those are the newspapers, and we try to gauge the mentions we have within these newspapers. This kind of information helps us to gauge how far the media is interested in our work. If they're not interested, then they would not either cite it or they would not interview your researchers or things like that. The more they interview the researchers, the more you have mentions, then it means whatever you're churning out is relevant to the media. And we assume that what is relevant to the media would most likely also be relevant to the general public. So in that way, through the media mentions, we can be able to gauge whether we are reaching out to the right people, but also whether we are having impact. Then also with the media, we normally look at the media statistics. These are generated by the media houses themselves, whether annually, where they normally come up with reports of how far they reach. So then you know if you're having coverage in this particular newspaper, if it reaches its sales about 30,000, then you know you're reaching out to 30,000 Ugandans. If another one has about 5,000, you would know if your messages are mentioned within that newspaper, then you'll be reaching out to 5,000 people. But also getting this kind of information helps us to know which media is most appropriate for us if we are intending to reach a wider audience. And if we are looking at the policymakers, the media normally also have this kind of information generated by themselves in terms of who are the kind of their readership. So that also helps us to gauge whether our information has reached the intended audiences. Then we also capture the number of instances that the products are selected for inclusion in a library or online resource. And here we look at the number and type of publication selected and the type of library or information center or online resource that is requesting to have our either research publications or policy briefs or whichever other information we have that they would like to also upload onto either their portals or to use in their libraries. And here it is also still the librarian who captures this information. And by us getting this type of information, we are able to capture reach, because if this is an African-based portal, then you know most likely then you're reaching outside Uganda. You're now reaching people who are outside of Uganda. If it's, let's say, Canadian-based resource, then you know you're reaching out to people in Canada. And this way also, by librarians or online resources asking, requesting to use our information, it's also another way of helping us to know what type of information other users are interested in. And there's this belief that librarians will tend to take information that is relevant to their users. They will not ask for what they think their users will not need. So in this way, we are also able, again, to gauge the quality of our products. Next slide. Regarding also reach, the last one on reach, the indicator they measure, is the number of policy engagements that we organize. And here we look at our dissemination workshops, the conferences and seminars, and the other policy dialogues that we engage in. And the data we capture here is the number of events, the people who participate in these events by gender, and also by type of organization. So we tabulate to say how many were women, how many were men, how many were from NGOs, how many were from public, and how many were from private, how many were from media. And over a period of time, let me say time frame of 1 year, we can be able to gauge and say throughout all the events, dissemination and policy engagement activities we had, how many attendances of policymakers did we have? How many parliamentarians did we have? How many media people attended? So then that can help us to gauge how many of these people are we reaching in terms of the categories and also in terms of gender. And then that would also help us if we get that kind of information. It would help us when we are designing future invitations to know that over the years, our attendees has been predominantly included men, and then now we need to have interventions that target attracting more women to attend our activities. So if we find out that we've had more of the NGOs, then when our focus is to have more of the policymakers, then it helps us to draw up new strategies of how to attract more policymakers to attend. That is all that we use to measure reach. Now I would like to move on to the indicators that we use to measure usefulness of or the perceived value of our products. Here we have only two indicators that we use within the tool that we measure. And one of them is the percentage of users who are satisfied with a product. And here the data we capture is qualitative in nature, where we are trying to look at people's attitudes, likes and dislikes. And we here we have an instrument, kind of a questionnaire, where we put statements and then request people to grade, to scale with like, dislike, and things like that. And also the other way we get this is by distributing feedback forms with the products. When we are sending out products, we send feedback forms. The challenge we have is that normally people don't return these feedback forms. But once in a while, you also get people who do reply via email and say, oh, we like this publication, we like this about this, or we think you could improve this publication better in this area and that area. And we keep on tracking that to see what type of people do we get feedback from and what kind of feedback. Is it on content? Is it on form? Is it on design? And things like that. And that helps us in future to improve the way we package our information products. Then the other way we measure usefulness is through looking at the percentages of users who rate the content of a product as useful. And here we also still send feedback forms to them. And whenever we are sending out, let's say, a research paper or a policy brief, or we send a feedback form with it, and then we tell them to on a scale, we put statements there and ask them to gauge whether the content, they found the content useful or not. And then we also get feedback on this, and later on when we analyze, we are able to tell which of our products did people find more useful, and then we try to learn from them what was it in them. Was it the content that people found useful, or was it the way the content was simplified and presented? Then that helps us later on to also be able to adjust the way we package the different products. Ideally for this, surveys would be the most appropriate, but we have not done this, conducting either annual user surveys because of the logistics involved in terms of the money, but also in terms of administering those kinds of surveys. We still don't have the know-how of how exactly to do the surveys, so we are predominantly relying on the feedback forms. Then finally, we have the measure of use, and with use, we are mainly looking at one indicator, the number of users who are using an information product or service to inform policy. And here, the data we try to capture is the number of policy recommendations that we provide to clients. That is, if it's within a policy brief or a research paper, what was our position, what was our recommendation we gave? If, let's say, it's a Ministry of Agriculture and we're working on a fertilizer strategy, then we say our on the need to improve fertilizer use in the country. And then if we come up and say one of our recommendations is to have a fertilizer strategy developed by the Ministry of Agriculture, then we go and find out, if we gave this recommendation to the Minister of Agriculture over a period of 1 year, we try through the technical meetings we hold with them, through monitoring of what statements are being made in the newspapers, try to find out, did they go ahead to start working on this strategy? Did they take up this policy or not? And this one is a bit of a challenge, because normally, even when information is used by policy makers, they won't come out to reference in their policy statements or protocols or guidelines or even the actual policies. They won't come out to reference that we got this information from this kind of source. Or sometimes even when you go to ask them, because they tend to receive information from various sources, they won't really remember which source they got this information from. So then this becomes really a challenge, the challenge of attribution. Even if you got statements that you see really look like what you had in your policy recommendations, you cannot fully come out to say this is because of our work, unless the policymakers have come out to reference. So having said that, I now want to move on the challenges we face using this tool. First and foremost, as I indicated, this tool is not only a tool that is measuring communication, but a tool that we use to measure all other aspects of our work at the center, and we only incorporate it for measuring communication. So then you find that it's sometimes difficult to harmonize the different data requirements from the different projects and data sources to input into this tool. And then you also need to have other, like forms, like Google Analytics to use in order to input information in this tool. So the tool is not a standalone. It doesn't capture information on itself, but it's just a place where you input information that you've collected using other small tools. Then the other challenge we have is the issue of consistency, how to capture information systematically in ways that are straightforward and on a regular basis. as you've heard me when I was explaining, you'd find some of this information is captured by the knowledge management specialist, some of it by the ICT specialist, some of it by the researchers, especially when it comes to outcomes of like events, activities, or even some outcomes of their research, because they are the ones who normally interface with the policymakers during either technical meetings or during policy forums. So then it becomes difficult to get consistent. People report in different formats and things like that. So the other challenge we have is the challenge of measurement of outcomes from different information products and services. The products vary, so and then they also lead to various range of impact and influence. So it's not easy for us to measure the actual outcome. You won't tell whether this outcome is coming from a policy brief or this outcome is coming from a full research paper or this outcome is coming from a dialogue, especially if they were all on the same issue. Then, obviously, there is the biggest challenge that not everyone within the organization is fully motivated to embed M&E within their work, although this is a shared tool where different people have to capture different aspects. But measuring of outcome needs collective effort, be it of communication. You need even non-communicators to assist you to keep on doing intelligence and nosing and scouting to see out of all the communication we've had, what are people saying, what are people talking about in the committee meetings, where sometimes we as communication specialists don't go to. So it needs to have everybody on board to appreciate why you should be capturing the impact of communication. Obviously, the smaller challenge is the challenge of time, that it takes time to capture all this kind of information. If you're to do surveys, if you're to update the forms, you get feedback, analyze it, it's a bit of time consuming, and then you also have to do the other things, other aspects of your work. So I would say those are the challenges. And the lessons we've learned through using this joint M&E tool, one of them that we've learned is that not one tool suits all communication M&E requirements. As you've heard me talking, some of these, you use Google Analytics. Other tools, you use administrative forms like participants registers and other ways you use media monitoring. So it's not one tool that will enable you to capture all your M&E requirements. You need small, what I would call sub-tools. You'd have this one tool where you enter all this information for management purposes, but then for the day-to-day collection, you need more than one tool to capture the specific communication products and services. Then the other lesson we've learned is that the tool design requires full participation of all parties that will be involved in using it. Because when you get new people coming on board, then it means they don't share the same vision as those of you who were there during the design of the tool, and then they might not be able to see the need of why you need to capture outcomes and impact of communication. And then the other lesson we've seen is that you need to have continuous capacity building in use of the tool, not only capacity building for the communications team to use the tool, but also for the other functions, especially the research, because they also interface a lot. They do a lot of outreach and engagement where sometimes the communication staff are not involved. So in a nutshell, I would say measuring communication is important, but it takes more than the communications people in the communications unit to successfully monitor, track, and measure the impact of communication. Thank you so much for listening to me.